Carol.
Hi, Jeff.
You putting on your makeup?
I was putting on my makeup.
Well, we are a goofball. This is radio. This is podcasting. This is not visual. It's not video yet.
Well, I was, in the words of Paris Hilton.
Oh.
I'm hot.
Well, hey.
I mean, that's hot.
Actually, now that you got the lipstick out, can I borrow a little bit?
No, you can't borrow a little bit of it.
Oh.
No, I think since this is only my second podcast, I thought perhaps it would like boost my confidence because I'm a little nervous again, although you gave me a little bit more lead time this weekend that you did last weekend or the weekend before, whenever I did my first.
I did, yeah. You're not a virgin anymore.
I know. I let my parents listen to the podcast, and they couldn't believe I said that if I was on a first date with George Clooney, I'd lose it the first time.
Really? They were, like, upset with that? Or they were surprised?
No,
like, we didn't know our daughter.
No, but then after I got a reaction from my parents, I figured, well, I better not let some of my coworkers listen to the podcast because, you know, they might...
They might think little of you. I wonder if my coworkers listen. Hey, if any of my coworkers are listening to this, let me know. Because I need to know if I should tone it down.
Well, I don't know if I'll tone it down today, but I've decided I'm going to let my coworkers know about this podcast.
Well, what did your...
Regardless.
What did your parents think about it? Did they think sort of that I was really good and you were really bad?
Well, my parents really aren't... Well, my mom's starting to become computer savvy, Jeff.
Okay.
She's actually learning how to work with the computer, and she's sending emails, and, you know, every week she learns something new, so I'm very proud of Mom.
Wow.
You know, Dad's now retired, so he doesn't really want to have anything to do with the computer, but they don't get the podcast thing.
They don't get it.
They don't get it.
I don't get it.
I didn't get it either until you asked me to start hosting, and now I love it.
Well, we should do the top of the show thing.
The top of the show. Yeah. What's that mean?
Oh, listen up and you will see. It's the week of October 31st, 2005. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Carol.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat, show number 33. And Pat's not here again.
It's me again, guys.
It's Carol again.
Yeah.
But Pat does inform me. Well, actually, she does, but doesn't inform me. But I hear from good sources that she's coming back to the show soon. So.
Oh.
So there you go.
Well, that's too bad for me.
Well, you'll have to come back and keep on doing the subbing thing.
I was hoping I could move in on her action, but maybe she'll get sick or something. Just kidding, Pat.
Maybe you can kill her off or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kidding. Just kidding. No, we miss Pat, but, you know, the audience misses Pat, too, but I think you got a very nice, warm reception from last week, so...
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
That was good. So, how's your weekend so far? It is Sunday. We're broadcasting on a Sunday. Weekend so far so good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's Halloween weekend. Ask me what I did last night.
What'd you do last night? Trick-or-treat?
No, you don't go trick-or-treating until Monday, Jeff.
I know. I got a bunch of candy.
But speaking of trick-or-treating, you know... I started thinking about what do adults do, unless you still like to trick-or-treat, which would be a little freaky.
Well, I'm trick-or-treating. What's so freaky about that, man?
Well, come on. I'd love to, but,
I get
some pretty weird receptions from the, you know.
Depends on how you're dressed. I'm going to dress up like a podcast star.
Oh, sure. Like, people would know what that is.
I know.
No, so I was thinking about what do you do if you're an adult to celebrate Halloween, right? I mean, other than go see haunted houses, but that's really more
for kids. That's for kids, too.
Trick-or-treating is for kids.
Yep.
So I did something really cool, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Halloween tradition, where it begun, and how it's evolved into what we know today.
Okay.
But that a little later.
Okay, sounds good.
What I did last night, I went with my parents to the Meyerson. Scary, right?
Wait a minute. Is this the, I think I wanted to go see this concert. This was the Phantom of the Opera?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It was the Phantom of the Opera.
Yep.
And most people, when they think about the Phantom of the Opera, they think of the musical, which, come on, let's face it, not very scary, right?
Right, exactly.
But what they did at the Morrison last night, and actually I think they're doing it again tonight, and it was a full house. I mean, not a seat went empty, at least not one that I could see, but, it was cool.
Not a straight, not two of a kind, but a full house?
Exactly.
Okay.
It was a full house. Exactly. We'll talk cards later. Hey, Jeff, so what they actually, the original Phantom of the Opera film was released in the 1920s. So basically what they did is they actually showed the original movie by the famous Lon Chaney, who was, you know, a very important actor in his day.
Wow.
The day being the silent film era. And he was fabulous. And while you're watching the movie, we had live concert music.
Beautiful. Yeah. It was the
coolest thing.
I actually flagged that and was thinking about going, but we decided not to. But not to rain on your parade, at 3 p.m. today, Shoko and I are going to see the same thing at SMU. But this film is called Nosferatu, and it's 1922 silent movie, one of the very first horror films. And the SMU chamber music, I guess, is going to play in the background.
Right.
All kinds of scary and electronica music, apparently.
And Nosferatu, incidentally, for those that don't know, was the original vampire.
Exactly.
He was the predecessor to Dracula as we know it today.
Exactly. I've never seen this film, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It should be a good one. It would have come out about 2 or 3 years before the Phantom of the Opera.
Okay. Was it excellent?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was different, right?
Now, yeah.
And it wasn't, I know you're a big fan of the musical, Jeff.
Well, I like the musical.
You're always going on about the Andrew Lloyd Webber music, and he did a fabulous job, but this isn't like
the
1986.
Well, now you're making me sound gay. I don't go on and on about Andrew Lloyd Webber. Oh, God, guys, let's go listen to the musical. Woo!
It's good stuff, though.
Phantom of the Opera! What do you think? I'm a freak? I'm a heterosexual.
Yes, you are.
I don't look like one.
No, I'm kidding.
Ba-dum-bump.
No, so it's not like the 1986 musical rendition of the Phantom of the Opera with the famous Michael Crawford, you know. But this was the original score that they played, which was, it was beautiful. It really was.
So it wasn't like Andrew Lloyd Webber's music?
No.
Music of the Night.
No, because that's not scary.
La da da da, music of the night. I don't know that because I am straight.
And we had a fabulous.
I'm just guessing.
And we had a fabulous organist. Organist?
I want to say, what? You had a fabulous orgasm?
Organ player.
You had a fabulous orgasm at the
Meyerson? Stop, Jeff. I want my coworkers to listen to this. No, an organ player, because that's what the Meyerson is known for, right? Beautiful organs. So it was just, it was a fun, really fun night out.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
Well, what'd you do? I mean, other than the movie you're going to today.
Well, last night we also did a Halloween thing. We had this three-course dinner at a restaurant that I'll talk about later, but it was called Ciudad. You ever been there? Mexican?
Ciudad means city in
exactly.
Spanish, for those that don't know what Ciudad
exactly.
means.
Exactly, exactly. Three-course dinner. It was actually cheaper than any single entree, $20, and you get the shuttle ride to the Cedar Springs Halloween Parade. Cedar Springs, for those in Dallas, that's the sort of the gay area in town. And we hung out there. Basically, it's a parade of people in costumes, a lot of guys dressed like girls, but really everything and anything goes. It was very entertaining. We stayed up there till about midnight or so.
Oh.
So it was very Halloween, and I wore my little mask. I have a very scary mask.
Oh. Why aren't you wearing it now?
Because I couldn't. There's no mouth hole. I can't talk through it.
I have a scary
mask,
really too.
Hot. You do? Is that what you're wearing?
I actually wore it to work one day, and people were scared out of their wits when they didn't know that I was coming around the corner. You know the scream mask?
Oh yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
The scream mask?
Yeah, that is.
And people would actually like jump back.
Wow.
And you know, my claim to fame is that I've given a few people a heart attack here and there. So that's why I love this time of the year. No, but that's cool what you did last night.
It was very fun. And we're going to go to a play on Friday night about Muerto de la Diaz. Wait, what is it? Is that it?
Muerto de la?
Muerta.
Muerte?
No, Dios de la Muerta. I can't remember. The Night of the Dead. What's night?
Night. La Noche de la Muerte?
That's it. I think that's it. Anyway, there's a play going on.
The Night of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. At, what is the cinema? Not the cinema, the play. Teatro Dallas.
Teatro Dallas. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Excellent. And we didn't go. Actually, we still might do that Wednesday night, but there was a play, another play that got canceled on us. We didn't ended up doing anything Friday night, but we also saw a movie yesterday. A Japanese movie called Tony Takatani. And it was very interesting, very intriguing, it was poetry. It really wasn't a movie with a plot. It was more of a poetry about loss and loneliness. And I don't really know what all that it means, but I felt like shooting myself when it was over.
What does Toko Takatani mean?
Tony Takatani is the name of the guy's name. Mm-hmm. And it was based on a short story written by, I can't remember his name now, by an author that I've actually read two of his books, a Japanese author.
Oh.
He wrote Norwegian Wood and I should have brought those notes with me, but I didn't. So anyway, it was good in a Japanese film kind of way, which I really like. Makes you think. And they're just, it was unbelievably directed. Really cool imagery and the way he panned characters. This narrator would come on and talk about what this character was thinking. And then you'd see the character, and then he'd finish what the narrator was saying. It was a really intriguing way to do it. So anyway.
So for those of you that don't know, Jeff's dating a gal named Shoko from Japan. So Jeff, you need to learn how to tell this or say this to Shoko. Watashi wa anata wo aishite imasu.
Ooh, that was good. What does that mean?
It's true Japanese, Jeff.
What does it mean?
I'll let Shoko tell you.
All right.
I'll write it down for you and you can, if she's listening, I've just given away the surprise, so.
No, she listens, so she'll hear it.
So Shoko, there you go. I'm going to teach Jeff how to say that.
All right.
It'll be music to your ears, Shoko.
The other thing that's going on tonight, actually, White Rock Lake Carol, is this Ghost Stories.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that. How cool.
I think you and Susan may be joining us, right?
Well, you didn't invite us.
I did invite you guys, yes.
Well, I thought you were going to the movie instead.
No, that's in the afternoon. This is at 7 o'clock tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm up for it.
Yeah. And I think Susan is, too. So, anyway, you guys will talk at tennis today.
Is it bring BYOA? Bring your own axe?
Yes, bring your own axe.
Bring your own C? BYOC?
Bring your own costume?
Bring your own chainsaw.
I've got mine.
Well, it's supposed to be scary, right?
It'll be very scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a legend of the White Rock Lake Lady, actually. I've read about that this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a ghost that some people have seen.
You're kidding, right?
No, there's been like 3 or 4 women that have committed suicide in that lake, in the 30s and 40s mostly. One woman comes back, and I kid you not, I'm not kidding about this.
Oh.
One woman comes back,
ooh,
and people that have seen her claim she's wearing a Neiman Marcus dress. So,
ooh. And this is where they're doing the reading?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm scared
now. Spooky, spooky, spooky.
That is pretty spooky. Where is it again?
It's a White Rock Lake Bath, the Bathhouse Cultural Center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Night and stars above that shine so bright, the mystery of their fading light that shines upon our caravan. Sleep upon my shoulder as we creep across the sand so I may keep this memory of our caravan.
Okay, so earlier I was going to talk to you guys about this American tradition of trick-or-treating that we know as today. So,
trick-or-treat. Give me something good to eat.
Okay, well, this trick-or-treating tradition dates back to the early All Souls Day parades in England. During the festivities, poor citizens would beg for food and families would give them pastries called soul cakes in return for their promise to pray for the family's dead relatives.
I just went out to the grocery store and got a bunch of soul cakes for distribution.
Yeah, instead of giving candy to the kids tomorrow, I'm going to give them a soul cake.
Me too.
Yeah.
Soul cakes are good.
Yeah, and I'll probably end up with egg droppings in my house and toilet paper in my trees. And
hey, if they can't appreciate a good soul cake,
what's the matter
with these? What's the matter with these kids, these young whippersnappers? I don't tell you in my day, we appreciated soul cakes. Anyway, proceed.
The distribution of soul cakes was encouraged by the church as a way to replace the ancient practice of leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. The practice, which was referred to as going a-souling, isn't that funny?
That's funny.
Was eventually taken up by children who would visit the houses in their neighborhood and be given ale, food, and
ale?
Money.
Ale?
Ale.
Kids?
Maybe it was non-alcoholic ale?
I don't know. Is there such a thing?
Now, about the costume bit. The tradition of dressing in costume for Halloween has both European and Celtic roots. For those of you that don't know who the Celts are, they were like around 2,000 years ago in what is now Ireland, the United Kingdom, and the northern France area. Anyways, hundreds of years ago, winter was an uncertain and frightening time. Food supplies often ran low, and for the many people afraid of the dark, like Jeff, the short days of winter were full of constant worry. On Halloween, when it was believed that ghosts came back to the earthly world, people thought that they would encounter ghosts if they left their homes. To avoid being recognized by these ghosts, people would wear masks when they left their homes after dark so that the ghosts would mistake them for fellow spirits.
Really?
Is that not cool?
You know, it's funny because the parade I went to last night, it looked like a bunch of fellow spirits.
Really?
Yeah. I was really in the mood for some good old soul cake.
Well, I wonder if they were the real thing, Jeff. I mean, how can you distinguish a fellow man / spirit from the real thing?
You know, I went onto the internet this morning and looked for like pictures from the event. No event. I don't know what we did. I don't know what we saw. It's unexplained.
Really?
Do 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 do. Yeah.
And let me just bring up one more thing that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
You know, bobbing for apples?
Yes.
Everybody knows bobbing for apples, right?
Comes from bobbing for soul cakes.
Going a souling.
Going a souling?
Yeah. Like going a singing, we're going a souling.
We're going a souling,
baby.
You
should write a song about going a souling.
I'm going a souling with you. Ba doo boo. Ba boo boo. Boo.
Okay, well, you know, I think the whole bobbing for apple story is a little too long and we're running out of time here.
Okay.
So basically, in a nutshell, it has to do with the Roman goddess of fruit.
What does a nutshell have to do with it?
It doesn't.
Okay.
It has to do with fruit.
I was confused. Okay.
And so when the Romans conquered, you know, the Celtic territory, you know, they brought the whole Roman, you know, deity into the picture.
Right.
And the symbol of Pomona, who's the goddess of fruit. I didn't know there was a goddess of fruit. I want to be the goddess of fruit.
Yeah.
Is the apple. Okay. That's a symbol of Pomona. And the incorporation of this celebration into some other celebration explains the tradition of bobbing for apples that is practiced today in Halloween. And of course, all this happened like either before Halloween or November 1.
Okay. So it's a way of paying homage to this god is by like, she's represented by an apple. So we put our hands behind her back and try to grab it with our mouths. That seems very disrespectful.
Well, I'm not even going there, Jeff. This is like I thought this was supposed to be a G-rated program.
Well, did I say something X-rated without knowing it?
I don't know. Maybe my imagination's not where it should be.
I was just talking about, you know, how the fact that if you're like grabbing something with your mouth, it's probably not the most common way to respect a god. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay, Jeff. All right, let's move along.
Let's move along.
All right, Jeff, I think I'm ready to hear something gross.
She didn't know what I had prepared at all. Okay, this just came in the Dallas News, and it's gross. So if you have a little, you know, little queasy stomachs, just take a break for a couple minutes here. It was a Dallas cab driver that was convicted for, what did he do here? He dried his human feces, put it in a food processor grinder, and then he would take it to the local grocery store because they had pissed him off before, and he would spread it among all the bakery items.
Yummy!
Yummy! Now that's good eating. That's good soul cake. Now, here's the deal. He didn't just do it once because apparently customers complained, you know, they could tell something was off. So this grocery store installed a video cam on the bakery thing, and he came back like, you know, 5 to 7 times. And so they caught him.
Yuck.
Isn't that gross?
That's pretty wicked.
I can see being mad at a business, but doing that. And here's the other thing. This is more general than this particular case, but I find this funny, Carol. Here was the jurors deliberated about 4 hours before sentencing him to 2 5-hour prison sentences and 2 $3,000 fines. Okay, that's fine, right? But by law, these prison terms were run simultaneously. So what does that mean? Why would you ever have a simultaneous prison term? So it's like 2 5-year prison sentences served simultaneously is 5 years. Why not just have one?
Well, that's what they call this. That's the same as a concurrent sentence, and
yeah.
Beats the heck out of me.
I never
got that. And I love Law and Order, and I love all those, what are those other CSI shows?
Right.
And I never understand when they talk about concurrent sentences. I mean, what's the point?
What's the point? It's stupid.
Maybe because they're being tried for two different offenses, but you'd
right.
think they should not be concurrent. They should be back to back.
It has no meaning if they're concurrent.
Exactly.
whatsoever. They should be back to back.
Exactly.
If you under the assumption that two offenses is twice as bad as one offense, and you may or may not question that assumption, but if that's the assumption that you're running on, then it should be twice as long, right? I don't get it.
Right.
And the fine should be twice as much, too.
And let me just add, you know that fecal story you just told?
It's a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful fecal bakery story.
It's a beautiful fecal bakery story. The only thing that would have made it better for Halloween is if he had sprinkled his fecal matter all over the soul cakes.
Well, you know, Amy told me about a movie that I want to go watch. It's called Waiting, and it talks about, patrons pissing off the kitchen help and the waiters and the kinds of things that go on in the kitchen. So that kind of, when you told me that fecal story, kind of reminded, I want to go see that movie because now I think I might be on my best behavior. I won't demand silverware if I don't have any. I'll just bring my own.
I'm fine with my fingers.
Yeah.
I'm good. Don't trouble yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a good customer.
And you heard about that guy, pissing in the coffee pot at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, but I have an alibi.
That's funny, Jeff. It didn't even look like you.
That's why they pay me.
Yeah?
They pay me to keep the humor going on in the show. Carol, do you have anything else for Halloween?
Yeah, I have one more thing about Halloween. You know who the Queen of Darkness is, right?
The Queen of Darkness, that would be Elvira. No, I don't know.
Actually, that was a good guess.
Yeah.
Let me give you a hint. Who wrote Interview with the Vampire?
Anne Rice,
none other.
What did I read about her lately? Something.
Well, incidentally, her home was totally devastated with Hurricane Katrina, because
that's right.
She lived in a very hoity-toity area in New Orleans. I actually saw her house off St. Charles Street, and it was, it's gone. And so now she's in San Diego,
I thought those nice mansions on St. Charles were actually, for the most part, spared, but I have to admit, I didn't pay that close attention to it.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I mean, she has no more home in New Orleans, but
wow.
Luckily for her, just 5 months prior to Hurricane Katrina, she'd bought a home in San Diego.
Oh, boy.
So I guess she got lucked out that, she
wasn't
in... Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe she is a clairvoyant. But I just wanted to just kind of mention to the listening audience that she has found God again, and which is kind of interesting considering she's been writing about doomed souls for such a long time, her whole Vampire Chronicle series of books. So she's returned to the Catholic Church.
Catholic even,
after
huh?
After a 30-year absence, and she's working on her latest book, which is due out in November, called Christ the Lord. And basically, it's a book about Jesus when he was a boy, specifically when he was around 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
And it depicts Jesus and his family. They're in their first year in Nazareth after leaving Egypt following the death of King Herod. Because the Gospels right now don't really talk about the young Jesus. So this will be interesting. There's a big hole there from the time he was born to the time he became a man, in 33 years or,
And 2,000 years from now, this will be like the Gospel according to Anne Rice, and everybody will believe it.
Well, I hope not.
And think that she's inspired, and nobody can attack it because, hey, how can you attack it? It's in the Bible.
No, that's not the case at all.
I know.
I mean, it's going to be riddled with fiction.
Well, of course, if nothing is written about it, it'll all be fiction, right?
I mean, she's been researching, talking for two or more years. But, I mean, the story around it, there's going to be a lot of fiction, just like a lot of people took Dan Smith's The Da Vinci Code to be, you know, a nonfiction type real account of, you know, what happened, you know, 2,000 years ago or later. And that's not the case at all. But, you know, there will be people out there that might, you know, read Anne Rice's book and believe everything that they're reading.
There's always going to be people like that, but whatever. So there's no vampires in this book?
No vampires.
Just young Jesus.
But I'm sure she's going to piss off the Christian community, and I'm sure she will piss off the Jewish community. Maybe not to the degree that Mel Gibson did during the Passion of the Christ.
I thought all the Christians liked the Mel Gibson movie, Passion of the Christ. They didn't like it?
No, I'm talking about Anne Rice is going to piss off both, as opposed to Mel Gibson. Both
he pissed off the
Christians,
Jews, right?
Yeah, Mel Gibson pissed off the Jewish community, and, you know, and Anne Rice is probably not going to make... There's gonna be a lot of controversy.
Too bad. She's just a freaking writer. You know, get over it, America.
Exactly.
You know, people take this.
But
stuff
you heard
too much.
It here first.
Yes, this is a scoop. All right. The other thing in the news is what's her name? Harriet Myers from Dallas, SMU, which is very close to me. They finally did the logical thing and she withdrew. I knew that was happening. I mean, all the news shows said she was, you know, going to be nobody accepted her. So they said she was going to be stepping down a couple weeks ago, I heard that. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's right.
But here's what I was surprised about. Apparently, Carol, they had her spend a lot of time with White House colleagues and insiders going over mock trials. They were basically having her do Senate briefings, mock Senate briefings, to see how her answers were and all this stuff. And apparently, she was awful. And this is like a big reason why they said this is just not going to work. In fact, it says here, but this is from the Washington Post, Myers' answers were so suspect that the White House didn't invite the outside lawyers who normally assist in the grilling and prepping of the candidate that she didn't even make level two. So, I mean,
really?
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for her. She was just thrust in a position that she wasn't qualified for. I'm sure she's smart and intelligent and dynamic and interesting and sexy, but you know, that's not the qualifications you need for a Supreme Court justice.
Okay, well, I've got a lot to say about that, Jeff.
All right.
And you know, by the way, Harriet Myers in her day, you know, when she was young, you know, practicing attorney, she was a good-looking woman.
Is that a picture of her?
Yeah, I brought a picture of Harriet Myers. Isn't she attractive?
Yeah, she's actually not bad.
She's not bad, but she doesn't look that good now.
No, she doesn't.
But my point was that, this is all good for Bush, too, because there was too much controversy surrounding her nomination on my birthday, by the way. She was nominated to be a Supreme Court Justice on October 3rd.
I wouldn't take that as a good omen.
Oh, yeah, maybe that wasn't a good omen, but there's a lot of controversy. And Bush has a lot of other things he has to worry about besides this. But many people thought that because she didn't have the experience of being a judge, right, which ended up, they thought that would be a good thing.
Right.
Right? Because she hasn't made those rulings or what's called opinions for people to just like tear apart and critique, right?
Right.
But what ended up happening is that what she had ruled on was not looked upon favorably by conservatives.
Right.
So she really, you know, the liberals, you know, had, you know, their issues with Harriet Myers, but so did the conservatives because they didn't really know what her views were towards things such as the death penalty, abortion.
Right. They all want somebody.
Gay rights.
Right. They all want somebody that hates the gays. That's kind of crazy.
I'm a Republican, so careful.
Okay.
I mean, if we want to start talking about politics, which everything I say on this show, you know, the liberals are probably going to, you know, make it into a partisan type thing. And that's not the case at all.
The thing about Harriet Myers, though, I mean, you're right. Republicans and Democrats didn't like her for some of ideological reasons that they thought. But at the end of the day, she really didn't make it because she was not qualified, didn't have the depth of knowledge. Like John Roberts is a conservative, right? But as a Democrat, I recognize bright, bright, smart, intellectual. You know? So somebody that should probably serve on the Supreme Court.
Well, let me take you back to the 1960s, Jeff.
Yeah, free love.
Imagine the legal world in the late 1960s when Harriet Myers was among a handful of women who attended law school at Southern Methodist University. Until 1963, Jeff, a married woman could not sign a legally binding contract. She could not sell her own property without her husband's consent, as an example. So I just, in defense of Harriet Myers, she truly is a trailblazer.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also...
And a lot of people are...
I heard something that was very nice about her. How when she was doing some... helping out some poor family on legal matters and so forth, and she gave and gave pro bono work, and also did some other things over and beyond. I mean, I don't think there's any question that she is a very good person. I don't think there's any question.
I mean,
it's just she doesn't have the level that you need to be a Supreme Court. It was a bad nomination.
Well, she's not only a good person, she's ballsy. I mean, can you imagine joining a Dallas law firm being surrounded by nothing but males in 1970?
Especially in the 60s and 70s in Dallas. It was very much a boys' club.
It was a boys' club. And I'm going to tell you
Texas
a little...
ranch hand.
Well, let me tell you, I feel a little bit like a trailblazer myself. I was the only female engineer at a time, you know, working the manufacturing shop floor at an aircraft.
Yeah.
In the aircraft industry. And I felt like a trailblazer. And that was in the late 80s. So can you imagine what the 70s must have been like? How did a woman survive in that kind of environment? I mean, I struggled in the late 80s, you know, early 90s with the boys' club. So
right.
I just, to her defense, I think she's a hell of a gal.
You think she should have been Supreme Court Justice? Is that what you're saying? Or you're just defending her?
No, I'm defending her because there's
a
lot of... I'm defending her as a person because there's a lot of ignorant people out there, right? And a lot of smug reactions of people viewing these female pioneers through a contemporary lens. I'm reading that. I just thought that was so cool. Disregarding the way Miss Myers' gender and early career years shaped the person she is today. For example, this is really interesting. Commentators on the right bemoan her lack of strongly stated opinions without appreciating that the lack of outspokenness was crucial to sustaining her success. Again, what I'm talking about, she had to survive in a male-dominated environment. Younger women, this is interesting, look at her bangs and clothes, you know, when they, you know, in the 70s, 80s, whatever.
Right.
They look at her clothes and they regard her as an old maid or a conservative columnist. You know, and some have described her as a church lady, but you know what the reality is? I had to dress like a church maid when I was an engineer, because if I dressed as hot as I really am, you know?
Good boy.
Yeah. No, but if I dressed sexy, I mean, not even sexy, if I wore a leather skirt, in which I did once, or any, I mean, if I wore any kind of skirt, I would, you know, I would be sexually harassed. This is the reality for Carolina when she was first starting out her job as an engineer. So, you know, it's like, come on, before you make snide remarks, get educated and put yourself in, you know, and what, you know, Harriet Myers, you know, her career and her struggles to get where she is today. So that's all I have to say about that, Jeff.
All right. Well, there you go.
Well, it's true that we love one another.
I love Jack White like a little brother.
Well, Holly, I love you too, but there's just so much that I don't know about you.
Jack, give me some money to pay my bill.
All the dough I give you, Holly, you've been using on pain pills.
Jack, will you call me if you're able?
I got your phone number written in the back of my Bible.
Since I mentioned that, you know, to me, Harriet Myers is a trailblazer, I just wanted to just pay tribute to Rosa Parks.
Rosa.
Rosa Parks died this week.
Yes, she did. And she was laying in state, I heard. Oh, it's the ultimate honor for an American, right?
Yes, yes. And she deserves every bit of it. And I just kind of wanted to take my hats off to what she did for human rights.
I'm going to take my headphones off for Rosa.
Are you?
Yeah. No.
No?
Actually, no.
But, you know, she, you know, it's amazing to me. I was reading up on her life, you know, because, you know, she was truly a trailblazer, and she stood up for what she believed in. And, you know, there were lots of human rights violations against African American back in her day. But this was more, this is not about race. This is more about human rights, treating people with respect.
And dignity.
And dignity, right?
And her what she did sparked a generation.
And guess who else it sparked?
Who?
Martin Luther King.
That's what I was going to say, Martin Luther King.
It sparked him.
Yep.
I mean, he read, you know, what and you know, Rosa Parks had already been a feisty woman before this incident.
No doubt.
And so, but this is what got, you know, really, you know, when catapulted her to the status that she has today. But it's not like, you know, this was the first occurrence.
Right.
She'd had issues with being treated as a subhuman.
Right.
You know, for 10 years before she finally, like, stood up and refused to give up her seat.
Right.
In Montgomery, Alabama, 50 years ago.
All right. Well, rest in peace, a great American, Rosa Parks.
And I hope for those that pursue human rights, keep fighting the good fight and remember Rosa Parks.
Well, did you hear about the president of Iran, Carol?
You know, not.
This is what
not
this
really.
Is what the president, the leader, the representative of Iran said. He said Israel must be wiped out from the map of the world. Okay, horrible. So
horrible.
What I find funny.
That's violent and horrible.
Yeah. What I find funny though is on Friday, Iran's Moscow embassy. Now, this Moscow embassy is a little bit special because it's often used by Tehran to issue statements on foreign policy. They said that the president did not mean to speak up in such sharp terms. The embassy further said he did not have any intention to speak up in such sharp terms and enter into a conflict. It is absolutely clear that in his remarks, the president of Islamic Republic of Iran underlined the key position of Iran based on the necessity to hold free elections on the occupied territories. All right, I don't know what that's all about, but here's what he said. He said he wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the map. So I just, Iran's now, some of their diplomats are trying to like, wait, that's not really what he meant.
That's the part that's hilarious.
Fuzzy. There's some fuzziness in here. What he really meant.
There is no fuzziness there.
There's no fuzziness
I'd like
in there.
To see him get out of that one.
There's no getting out of it.
They're
trying to, the diplomats are scurrying around trying to make this better, but
they need to get rid of that guy.
This is either Iran is going downhill fast among the nations of the world, or this guy is going to be deposed or something.
I mean, can you imagine if President Bush said something like that.
We hate Saddam Hussein or something like that.
We're forcing this Libby guy under Bush to resign because of one little bitty leak. And can you imagine? You know,
right.
I hope they oust him out of office because that is totally, that's reprehensible and unacceptable. Damn it.
Unacceptable
He's
in
a
any
jerk
kind of world community.
It is. Yeah. I mean, what an idiot. Who put him into office?
I guess he was voted.
How did he get into office?
I guess he
voted by who?
By the Iranian people. But he probably didn't say any of that in the campaign.
Who knows? Maybe he did, and that's why he got elected. I don't know.
Well, he's saying he did say he represents the majority of the Iranian people. But
so I don't know.
You know, I don't know about
that. I think that's
horrible. Iranian people are a pretty civilized, smart bunch of progressive thinkers for the most part, except when that Ayatollah Khomeini came in and dumbed them all down. But for the most part, they're, you know, an advanced civilization that's great. And I just can't imagine the majority would just take a nation and say, wipe them off the face. I mean, yeah, a little ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, maybe they should just play a soccer game. They're both big soccer countries. Just, you know, deal with it at the soccer field.
It would be
soccer. You don't need bombs.
It would be soccer with daggers.
I probably would be sad to say.
I would not want to be at that soccer game. I'd wear my armor.
I know. Well, the music is playing, and it is time for your Dallas Minute. Carol, do you have a Dallas Minute for us today?
Yes, Jeff, I have a Dallas Minute.
Okay.
My Dallas Minute is my favorite restaurant. Now, I've not been to all of them in Dallas, but I love Al Biernat's.
I still haven't been there. Great steakhouse, right?
Well, you know, a lot of people call it a steakhouse.
That's what it's known for, but...
But it's also, for me, it's a seafood joint.
Really?
It is, it's fabulous. I mean, I always order the same thing off the menu because it's unbelievably good.
It's not actually
better. I'm not a meat person.
It's not better than Long John Silver's, is it, for seafood?
No way.
Yeah, okay, good.
Oh, no, and they don't have hush puppies, so...
How can they call themselves a seafood place with no hush puppies?
Okay, so it's Al Biernat's is located on 4217 Oak Lawn Avenue in Dallas, Texas. And if you want to call, 214-219-2201. No, but really, it is my favorite. They have a risotto. It's a lobster risotto that they serve with a sea bass dish that is it's unbelievably
sounds
good.
Super fab.
It is super fab.
And actually, there's a lot of celebrity sightings there.
Yes, and if you have to be hot to go.
So how did you get in?
Because in the words of Paris Hilton, Jeff, I'm hot.
I think she also said, I'm hot and sexy. Because she was out.
She's such a dork. She doesn't.
After this
she
Paris
doesn't,
breakup, she was. I heard her say in a nightclub, "I'm hot and sexy."
Yeah, she. I don't have you. I don't know if you've noticed that when she doesn't say more than 2-3 words at a time.
I don't think she can.
But she has. You know that term. That's hot.
Yeah.
That people are saying.
That's hers.
That's hers.
Yeah.
I mean, she has actually. Isn't that scary?
And you have to say it in a little bit of an airhead way. That's hot.
That's hot.
That's hot.
Yeah. Well, you know, as soon as our commercial came out, you know, I immediately went and bought a leather bathing suit and went outside for all my neighbors to see and started soaping up my car while I had a big old McDonald's hamburger in my mouth.
Did you now? Did that drive a lot of attention?
I started a trend. I think it should be made into a holiday. You know, when people just get into their leather bikinis and their leather...
And just start getting a sandwich and washing their car?
No, not a sandwich. It's got to be a hamburger.
Oh, a hamburger. Well, okay. That's
and you've got to eat it very sensually. But this would be for men and women. It would be, an event for all to enjoy.
I'll do it.
That
sounds like fun.
Yeah, exactly. Because earlier we were talking about how there's no adult entertainment during Halloween. Well, you know, this could be...
That's a good adult entertainment.
Yeah, I think it could be fun. You could have a block party and have everybody do that.
And then you can say, that's hot. The problem with
hot.
The problem is, you know, you look around at your neighbors, you know, this is Dallas, this is America. And most of them you really wouldn't want to see in a leather-clad bikini or bathing suit washing their car. You really don't.
No.
You don't really want to go there. It's sad to say.
No, that's true. But anyways, I digress. I don't want to talk about that dingbat. So it's very good. Their bar, it's fun if you don't want to go there to eat. They've got a cool bar, and they've got a patio dining area.
Okay.
And they do draw very attractive and hip people. Some of the sightings there, if you're into, like, celebrity watching, Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell, Angie Harmon from Law & Order. She's not in Law & Order anymore since she decided to become a mom.
She lives in Dallas, I believe.
Yeah, she does live in Dallas with her husband, who's like some kind of sports figure.
Hmm.
And of course, me. There's always a chance that you can see me.
There you go.
But really do go. It's fabulous, really.
It's super fab. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because my Dallas Minute is located two blocks south of Albernaz.
Huh, what's that?
It's Ciudad.
Ciudad.
How do you say it? How do you say that?
Well, it's Ciudad or Ciudad.
You can say it either way.
Either way.
Ciudad. Uh-huh. Main city. And as I said in the lead up of the show, well, it was like a $20 3-course dinner, so we had that. And they had a combination. You just poured coffee all over your sweatshirt, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. Sorry.
That's funny.
I did, and I'm dribbling also. Dribbling down the side of my mouth.
Just don't get on the microphone.
Okay.
So, anyways, We had wonderful dishes. It's Mexican. It's not Tex-Mex. You know, there's a lot of places. Mexican food gets kind of a bad rap because it's always associated with burritos and tacos and enchiladas, you know, quesadillas, all the Tex-Mex border food, which isn't Mexican at all. This is a truly Mexican restaurant. And I had like a short rib type of covered with like a corn mush type stuff, yeah, like a polenta type thing, and with a very hot spicy type of sauce, and it was excellent. And Shoko had sort of the Mexican equivalent of a garlic shrimp, like a scampi type thing. And it was absolutely excellent. I had a great salad as an appetizer. Shoko had a soup made out of squash, I think it was. And we were both very pleased with our meals. And I'm kind of anxious to try their normal menu now. I was impressed. If you want some good Mexican food. Have you been there?
No, I haven't been there.
Well,
but it sounds yummy.
I think it might be worth a
try. It's authentic Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's not enough authentic Mexican restaurants.
There's a few. There's a, like that Nuevo León. That's right by me
yes,
here.
Yes, I've been there. That's very good.
Very good. Now, they're all different regions in Mexico, and I wish I could tell you that I'm an expert, but I'm not. You know, like the Nuevo León, for example, specializes in the area of Mexico that that highlights mole sauce. Which I'm not a huge fan of mole sauce.
No, I'm not either. But
I still like that restaurant a lot. I think, you know, Ciudad is a different region, and I couldn't tell you what their specialties are. But
well, that's fair because...
Good quality, great service. And I really like the shuttle idea of going back and forth from the parade because parking around the parade area, it's just a neighborhood, you know, is a real pain for this thing.
So. Are they doing the parade again today? Or
nope.
Is it just yesterday?
It's just last night.
Oh, yeah. Too bad.
You can go parade yourself down there. I'm sure there'll be people with costumes in the gay bars.
I think I'll pass.
Okay.
I've got a scary reading to go to this evening,
I
right?
I know. We're going to be scared out of our wits.
Yes, we are.
We're going to be hiding underneath the sheets all night. Not with each other.
And,
you
no.
Know, just to make that clear.
Yeah.
If that was implied. Okay, so that's going to do the show, Carolina.
Yes.
Thanks.
That's it, everyone.
You were great.
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
Good substitute.
It was fun. I'm not as nervous this weekend as I was a few weeks ago.
You're doing great.
Thanks.
Hey, it's November. Oh, I forgot to go through my November
list. Hey, and
if the
listeners want me back, write in.
Write in, right.
Right, I'll be back if you want me.
You'll be back. Call our listener voice line at 206-202-8255. And that's 206-202-TALK. Or you can email me at jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com. You can email Pat. Say hello at pat@thisandthatpodcast.com. And it's November. I forgot to do my list of what November is the month of. We'll do it next time. But do get on Podcast Alley and vote for us. It's a new month. We'd really appreciate the vote. That's the only reason we do this darn thing.
And we want to wish all the listeners a sweet, very sweet November until we meet again.
And my birthday's in November.
Yes.
Woohoo! You know,
birthday's in November, right around Thanksgiving, turkey time.
November 23rd. I was actually born on Thanksgiving Day. My mom said it was the best turkey she ever got.
Yep, you're a turkey.
I'm a turkey, man.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here.
All right, bye.
Bye.